It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and it is once again time here on KETR for us to spend about 15 minutes and talk about the outdoors. Now, if you've tuned in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about outdoor cooking, ways to put fish and game and domestic meats to use. Our special guest today is Mr. Obie Obermark. OBQ.com is a website, but Obie is an expert barbecue cook. We're going to talk to Obie, and I bet all of us learn a thing or two. Obie, thank you very much, sir, for spending some time with us.
Well, good morning, Luke. It is a great pleasure to be here with you on KETR.
Yes, sir. We are happy to have you. You know, a lot of people get tricked up on barbecuing, I think. Now, granted, cooking things like domestic meat compared to wild pork or wild or venison, it's different, but it's really not rocket science. And if you have just a few basic facts, you can turn out some great tasting barbecue, can't you?
Absolutely. You need to be very sensitive to the fact that the domestic meats tend to be a lot fattier, and of course the critters don't use their muscles near as much, whereas a wild hog is out being a wild hog, running wild, and he's using his muscles. So his muscles are tough, are stronger, gives you a little tougher meat to start with. That can still be tenderized just fine, but you have to be sensitive to the fact that you're going to take a little longer to tenderize that meat, and you need to be careful you don't dry it out, because it'll dry out much easier than domestic pork.
You bet. You know, Obie, I think what would be really interesting is your rubs that you make.
Yes.
OBQ.
Yes, sir.
The company. How you really got started? I have a feeling you were probably just a backyard barbecue person like many people before you really got into blending your own spices and making these prize-winning, you know, rubs and spices. Am I right?
Well, no. Actually, I was a vegetarian.
No kidding.
Yeah. Amazing grace.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I learned to cook as a vegetarian, and that's why I got good with spices, because it's, you're going to eat nothing but hay, you need to dress it up a good bit to make it taste like food. And so I got into cooking, I got into cooking out of self-defense because I couldn't afford anything else. I was pretty broke when I was younger, and out on my own. So I started cooking and found out if I spiced it right, it could taste pretty good. And then found out if I, worked at it a little more, I could make something really good. And that got me into cooking. My love of cooking lasted a lot longer than my infatuation with vegetarianism, I guarantee you.
That first slice of good brisket with your rub on it, I can see how that could happen.
Oh, yeah, man. That's backsliding on a fork right there.
It is.
And what a pleasure it was to do that. Well, I tell you what, I had been cooking as a hobby for years and years, and had the opportunity to get into the spice business, and kind of jumped on it, managed to build OBQ from nothing up to, a nice little company now. We're still small, but that means we can actually pay attention to the product and make sure that we keep a really, really high-grade product on the shelf, and we have specialized in rubs. I like rubs because they do more for you than sauce, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's what I really wanted to pick your brain about, Obie, is I've been using this Sweet Heat for, gosh, three or four years, and that's really all I use. when I'm doing just about any kind of meat, game meat or domestic, although I usually do cook mostly game. I cook a lot of wild pork. But rub just kind of, I don't know, the sauce is a glaze in a sense, but that rub seems to really, I don't know, permeate it, gives it a better, I will still use sauce, but I will not consider barbecuing, say, like a ham or a brisket without the rub first, Obie.
Well, the concept is completely different. The target is different. With sauce, you're putting flavor on meat. But the purpose of a rub is to put flavor in meat. And in addition to doing that, it also protects the meat against drying out. Can I take a few minutes to expound on that?
You bet.
Expand on that. There we go. The way meat works is that meat is made up of a whole bunch of, meat is muscle, and muscle is made up of muscle cells. And the cells kind of operate like a little bucket brigade. They pass things from one to another. And if you start heating the meat, that bucket brigade, as you start heating the meat, one of the things it's doing is they're losing moisture. You're pulling moisture from all out of that meat and losing it to evaporation. Rubs, by definition, and by the way, in case your listeners are interested, the difference between a rub and a seasoning is rubs have a high sugar content. The sugar is not in there for flavor. The sugar is really in there to make them sticky. And because they're sticky, they will cling to the surface of the meat. And as the meat is passing this moisture from out of the middle of the meat up to the surface, when it hits that layer of rub, the rub absorbs it and holds it next to the surface. And that slows the evaporation. That helps keep your meat moist. Now, the fact that the rubs, of course, are full of good spices are where you get your flavor. That little bucket brigade that I'm talking about, where the cells that make up the meat are passing, they can pass water out, they can also pick up some of these flavor molecules and pass them into the middle of the meat. So you really get the opportunity to put the flavor directly into the meat where it will do you a maximum amount of good. And that's, you do the same thing with smoke. You're not applying the smoke in a sauce at the end of the cooking. No, you are little by little during the cooking, you're adding it. You're putting it on the surface of the meat, and the meat itself is drawing the smoke flavor into itself. And that's when you have a good piece of barbecue that's been properly rubbed and properly smoked, you get those wonderful flavors in every single bite, not just that little eighth of an inch on the surface. It runs all the way through the meat.
Obie, that is a good way to explain it. And you know what? When you were talking about how the flavor is passed from the surface in, it made me think. I cure a lot of meat. Sodium nitrate or sodium nitrite are the two chemicals that, you know, that permeate. The rule of thumb, you know, when you're curing meat is an eighth of an inch per side. Say it's just two sides to the meat per day, you know, penetration on it when you're curing. So it works the same. It sounds like, you know,
exactly.
It works the same way, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why you end up with something that is, you know, when it's properly cured, it's pink all the way through.
Yes. Uh-huh.
It's right. Not just on the surface. It goes all the way through. And that's a great point, Luke, because that's a good way for your listeners to visualize what's happening with the flavor. Same thing's happening with the flavor. The fact that we're cooking it kind of accelerates the process, and we, you know, that way we get better than an eighth of an inch a day. But
yeah, because of the heat, I'm sure.
Yeah, the heat drives it, speeds it up.
Well, Obi, we have about three more minutes. I've got a question to make. You know, if barbecue to me, if it's not tender, it's not barbecue. I like tender barbecue.
Absolutely.
I don't care if it's a ham off of a wild hog. Long and slow.
Right.
That's, you know, what would, say you're cooking a wild hog ham, 8 pound ham,
mm-hmm.
maybe 10 pound ham. It's very common for me to put it and leave it in there 15 hours.
Oh, yeah.
At
yeah,
190
yeah. or 200. But I found if I try to rush it, oh, it's, you know, the flavor is good, but it's just, it just takes the, I can't think of any other way to get it to that tenderness without the long and slow, you know?
Well, what you want to do is bring the meat up to temperature uniformly. That's why you're doing it low and slow. Think of doing a steak. Think of a rare or medium rare steak. You know, you put it on a hot fire, and you get the outside of it brown, but the middle of it is still fairly raw, at least pink.
Right.
That because you've cooked it over something so hot that the only thing that got heated up was the outside. It didn't heat it up all the way through. Whereas if you use a low temperature and a long cooking process, well then the temperature right in the middle of that meat is going to be really pretty close to what it is on the surface. You're not going to have this big drop-off in temperature as you move into the meat. And that's what you want to do, because you want the whole thing to tenderize at the same time. And what you're doing there as you're tenderizing is you're getting the meat hot enough that a material that's in the connective tissue. And the connective tissue is, of course, what makes the meat tough. Well, it's got a protein in it called collagen. And when you get that collagen up over 190 degrees, it starts melting. And as it melts, it acts like a lubricant. And by lubricating all the micro structures of the meat, it makes it tender. That's what we perceive of as tenderness, is having this collagen loosening everything up to where when you stick a fork in it, when you take a bite of it, you're not having to fight your way through the muscle. It works with you and it glides. Yeah.
Very tasty. You know, Obi, I could talk to you about three more hours, and we will get you back again and enlighten us on, we've kind of got an idea how to make good barbecue, but you're actually telling us what's happening, and I really appreciate it. Would you get back in a future show with us, and let's talk some more outdoor cooking?
I would be delighted, and in the meantime, is it all right if I mention that anyone who is interested can go to obq.com and find information there. And there's a lot of recipes there. A
lot of good information there, Obi. You bet. And I thank you again, and we'll get you back real soon. How about it?
Thank you, Luke. And once again, it's a pleasure to be here on KETR.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you very much for tuning in to today's show. And remember, you can listen to the archive of all of our shows at KETR.org. Just go there and look under local programs. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, the Texas Deer Association, Sun Optics USA, Purina Mills, and Darton Archery.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.